Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 105 with Lance McClard. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Lance McClard, we explore a number of interesting topics like what to do when students don't listen just because of your title, how to earn your leadership, how he grew EdCamp minimum participation to 150 in Southeast Missouri, and why trust is the first step. Thank you for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I would like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose venture is a social enterprise, and their vision is to catalyze sustainable change in our society, one organization at a time. Learn more at www.csconsultinggroup.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's given it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I'm thrilled to be here today with Lance McClard, a proud Missouri public school educator. He's happily married to his wife, Laura, a high school counselor, and he's a father of three kids, ages 10, 7, and 8 months. The son of an educator, Lance followed in his father's footsteps and became a teacher himself. Lance has taught 4th, 7th, and 8th grade. He started his teaching career in South Carolina before accepting a position in his hometown of Jackson, Missouri. After pursuing his master's, specialist, and doctoral degrees, Lance accepted a dual position as a building principal and assistant principal before becoming an elementary principal of two buildings. Additionally, he coordinates his district's elementary new teacher program. Outside of his regular responsibilities as an admin, Lance has helped plan and organize ed camps. He's involved in the Missouri Association of Elementary School Principals and will serve as the local Southeast Region president. Additionally, Lance has recently joined Connect Ed Learning St. Louis to help them achieve their mission to support those who desire to learn more and are willing to take risks and think differently about the problems we face in education today. Lance, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
So, you know, in your bio, it talks a little bit about being the son of an educator. I'm sure that's part of the story, but what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Yes, actually, it's kind of funny. I think most teachers either right away know they want to be a teacher or they kind of grow up fighting it. And I was the latter of the two. Seeing what my father did and the amount of hours that he put in, I thought, man, this is not for me. And so enrolling in college, I wanted to be a doctor or a physical therapist or something like that. But the more I thought about it and the more I got into classes, the more I kept gravitating back into education. And I was involved in youth wrestling and swimming lessons. And those were some of the memories that I actually enjoyed. So I ended up changing my major to education. And I originally wanted to go even into kindergarten because I just, that level of student is just so fun. If you want to brighten your day, you jump into kindergarten.
Yes.
But it finally just clicked for me. Stop worrying about the money and get into something that you're going to enjoy every day. And that's how I ended up where I'm at.
There you go. And that's all you need to say. And I love that little touch on the kindergarten story. I don't have a lot of experience. Most of my experience is in secondary, but when I worked on my master's, I served, early childhood education specialists. And being in kindergartens and pre-K for the first time, man, that really lit me up. I was just so happy, so excited to be there. There's so much energy, you know, and the love of learning that you just don't get sometimes at the upper grades. And it was a special, special place.
Yeah, kindergarten's definitely able to give you that aha moment more often. And I think that's why a lot of people got into teaching. That's definitely one of the reasons I got in is, you know, that look of a student when they finally get something.
Absolutely. So how would you describe your leadership style and how did you develop this style?
Well, I would say my style is still developing. I tend to gravitate towards the structural side. I want to focus on the process, the experimentation, and the adaption of the different systems. But I also have started working on the human side of it, too. If you don't have the right people, it doesn't matter what kind of systems you have in place. And I think that's highly, highly important. Like Good to Great, that was one of the points that people walk away when they read that book. My goal is to just kind of have the school run without me. And so I would say my leadership style is something where I'm trying to distribute leadership. I'm better at it on different days, but definitely looking to build other leaders and seek input from all the collective members, not just teachers, but from parents and even students. We've been working on that as well with our student leadership council in our school.
Nice. That's good. And Lance, you know, this is a tough question I ask everybody, though, so you don't escape it. What's been your worst leadership mistake and what have you learned from it?
I would say my worst leadership mistake is coming into the principal role thinking, well, I was hired to just be the leader and know everything and come in here and tell people this is how it is. And I quickly learned, even on my first day as an assistant, that sometimes I don't have the answers. I walked in and a student was running down the hallway, and one of the expectations is that we're going to have them walk. So being the new assistant principal, I thought, ooh, I've got to step up here. And it just so happened it was one of those students that like everybody in the building knew. And I did not. And it,
oh,
so
boy.
Walking in with my chest, you know, puffed out like, oh, you're going to listen to me because of my position. Well, that didn't work out for me. So I quickly learned that just because I have a title and a position, that doesn't make me a leader, and that you've got to earn it. You know, sometimes you still have to remind yourself that that's the case. And but yeah, that one did not go well for me. And I learned that I've got to build relationships. And I think, you know, one of the questions that you usually ask people when they're on here is, if you could go back and tell yourself something, what would you say? And I think that would be the one piece of advice I would give myself is, you know, knowing what you're supposed to do is very important, but building those relationships with students and with staff is a priority as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about earning it. I think that's an interesting you know, viewpoint. I agree with you. Absolutely. It's not in the name. It's not in the title, what you have on your desk or the kind of car you drive. Right. So
how
do you earn it? You talked a little bit about relationships. Well, how else, you know, do you earn that leadership? Go a little deeper with that one.
Well, I think it's being willing to model what you want and being willing to understand where people are coming from. You may not always agree with some of the arguments or decisions that are taking place, but if you're working with, say, teachers and you're trying to work on building, say, a new cooperative learning or a DI strategy, and it's something where your teachers are pushing back and they're saying, hey, there's just not enough time to sit there and say, well, that's too bad you have to do it. That's definitely not earning it. But working with them and saying, okay, well, what can we take off the plate? What's our priorities here? Or even being willing to jump in and do some of the work with them, learning alongside teachers. I know there's some principals out there that may or may not attend PD or they're on their computer or cell phone, but being conscious about being present in the moment. You know, if you're working with teachers, that's what you're doing. It's not you're off to the side and you're doing some administrative work that you needed to get done. It's participating as well.
Yeah, participating, being present, that is can't be overstated enough, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, Lance, we connected. We didn't get to go to the same ed camp, but, you know, we connected. You were telling me about some of the really creative stuff y'all are doing in your area of Missouri with ed camps. And then we gave out some of the sprints. And, you know, this is airing in August, so by now, the sprint is long gone, and you know you can predict the future. You had an awesome time, Lance, didn't you?
It was amazing.
It was amazing. But you know, we gave away some sprint admissions, and that was cool. A bunch of people joined. But tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got into ed camps and what you've been doing in Missouri with that.
Yes, I first got into ed camps with our new superintendent. He joined Jackson R2 and suggested to a couple of us, hey, there's going to be this ed camp in St. Louis. And I had heard of them, but I thought, well, I'm not really sure. But when your new superintendent asks you to go to something, you're more likely to say yes. So I definitely signed up and went, and I was just amazed at some of the learning that took place that was just natural. It wasn't forced, or I didn't have to just sit through something that wasn't going to benefit me, which I think too often teachers have to sit through PD that may apply to only 50% of the people in the audience. And some of the people already know it, or some of the people just aren't going to be able to use it, or they're not even ready to use it. But with the ed camp system, you're voting with your feet and it's your time. It's on a Saturday. You're connecting with educators that want to be there and that are passionate just like you. So if you're in a session that maybe you already know what they're talking about and you're really hoping it would hit some other aspects of the topic, you can get up and go into another session and no one is offended. The other part of it is just the connections that you make during the ed camp. I think that's one of the most powerful parts of the ed camp is I walked away there knowing a couple people from St. Louis. We're about an hour and a half south of St. Louis. And just having those connections was powerful because when I needed something, I could email them or I could private message them on Twitter and they would text right back and I would get some answers and develop myself beyond just that initial PD. So in SEMO, Southeast Missouri, we wanted to do an ed camp and my principal's group was going to design one. But then I found out that our technology consortium had already planned to do one. So I joined in with them and they had one just recently in March. And they had one before, but I think the turnout was minimal. So we really pushed this one this year, and we had close to 150 was my goal, my personal goal. But we shattered what we had done before. Now, for some other schools like Ed Camp St. Louis, 150 is not much. But for our region to have that many people come out, it was great. And just some of the learning and feedback we got from everybody, it just makes you want to do it again. One gentleman from Illinois said, "This is amazing. I want my district to set up PD yeah. like this."
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that's kind of really sparked how I view PD for my teachers in the building, too. And individualizing it, I think I've heard from a couple people. I don't know if it was an Innovator's Mindset, the book, talking about, you know, if we expect teachers to DI for students, then why aren't we individualizing learning for teachers? And,
yeah, you know,
it goes with modeling. It's not always easy, but they definitely appreciate it. And our students benefit from it as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're not off the hook as leaders in our buildings or in our districts. And yeah, if we're talking about personalization, we're talking about differentiation, authentic learning, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Problem-based learning, project-based learning, real-world scenarios. Why ever would you call your principals together or call your teachers together and just talk to them from 8 until 11, and then you get a lunch, and then you talk to them some more from 12 to 3:30? Like, it's insane. But people keep doing it, Lance. Why?
Yes, and I think some of it's that control aspect. But if I give them time to talk to each other, what are they going to talk about? You know, and it's just a matter of stepping back and being like, I hired really good people. And if I give these people some time, just imagine what they can do with it. So I think it's just taking a step back and saying, you know what, I've got to trust people. And I think that's the first step. I think maybe traditional roles were, well, we've got to have you contracted 8 to 3, and I've got to have every minute scheduled for it.
Right.
But if you give people free time and they say, hey, I want to work on breakout boxes and I'm really into this and I want to design one, why not? You know, and that's what we're learning is that's been the number one complaint from teachers from the beginning of time. You know, I don't have enough time.
Exactly.
So if we can provide that time to learn something that they care about, they're more likely to go back home and keep researching it. Or implement it, you
imagine
know,
that.
Too often. Yeah. too often we learn about something and it sounds great, but then the weekend happens and, you know, we're on to teaching by Monday. So,
yeah, I think that's one of the best things we can do is provide the resource of time, especially in schools. You know, we don't have a lot of money. We can't give bonuses, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Rarely are we able to increase the pay, but we are able to be flexible and adjust how we use time. And Lance, what you said there, I mean, if you ignite something in the teacher, which is what we want them to do in their students, and then what you said is they go home and learn some more about it, and they bring that passion to the classroom, give them the space to explore and to figure out that stuff to impact your community in that way.
Yes, yes. And we're starting to see the benefits of that. I've just started to kind of personalize it. And, you know, I read Todd Whitaker's book on what great principals do differently. And I read the part about faculty meetings and they should come looking forward to faculty meetings. And I thought, how in the world is this going to happen? You know, but it's starting to change how we deliver. And I think you said it right. You know, we're not off the hook just because we're administrators. If anything, we should set the tone for what we expect.
Absolutely. Set that tone. Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose current portfolio includes individual schools, nonprofit organizations, small and large districts, and urban school systems. Their home city is in Chicago, but their work can be done anywhere in the nation, and they're actively looking for clients around the world. Find out more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Lance, you mentioned that you're growing a lot as a leader. You're, you know, dipping your toe and into waters and things that you didn't even expect, right, to see what you're experiencing these days. So can you touch on that, how you're growing as a leader?
Yes. I initially started growing by saying, okay, I'm going to get on Twitter. I'm not really a big social media guy. And I got on there hearing you have to get on Twitter. This is where people connect. If you're not learning through that, then you're not really trying. So I get on Twitter and I lurk through a couple chats. And before I know it, I'm answering questions and connecting with people such as yourself. And just kind of expanding my network, but also expanding what I'm learning and how I'm approaching situations. I got involved in ed camps because of connecting with other people. I volunteered at Ed Camp St. Louis, which in the past I would have said, well, that's an hour and a half north of me. There's no way that I can be involved in that. But to see that networking with people improves your own practices, there are some brilliant people in our area, but to expand that and just tap into the brilliance of people around the world and in our major city of St. Louis, it definitely expands your own knowledge and your own practices. I joined, like the bio said, the Connected Learning Group, and I just started with them, but they have an event every month. So it's an opportunity to not only attend different learning sessions and different events, but also see behind the scenes, how do you put something like this together? And I can take that back into my district or into my school, and we can set up different PD events where it's not a set and get. I recently joined a online massive open course and was convinced to start blogging. Now, I haven't blogged as regular as I would like, but I've started blogging, which is something I thought I would never do. So wow. I think just taking those chances and yep. saying, okay, I'm going to try this. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you say, I bit off way too much. And so sometimes you have to step back. But trying it and seeing, is this going to benefit me? Is this going to benefit my students? And, you know, with a blog, it forces you to kind of reflect. It puts you out there. We talk about having our students have an authentic audience. And we've even talked about having students publish their own writing through blogs. But yet, as adults, we're a little bit nervous to do it. So again, it's being that model and putting yourself out there. And, you know, that forces you to grow. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but I think that's part of growth too, is to step outside of our comfort zone.
So wild. And you're right on. I mean, you got to step out of those comfort zones. And it's funny. I mean, as a kid, right, you have no limits. So you would jump off the top of a building and not even look where the ground is, right? Because you don't fear getting hurt or what the consequences are. And as adults, we lose that. We lose a little bit. We stop taking risks. But we need to. I mean, and that's what you're doing. You know, putting your blog out there in public is a beautiful thing, absolutely beautiful. And I think that maybe the episode, I'd have to look at my production schedule, but I think the one before this is Todd Nesloney. And, you know, he's got like freaking 42K Twitter followers, right? And the funniest part of that interview, he didn't even want to be on social media. His superintendent made him do it. And then the next thing you know, here's a guy who started to figure out his voice online and he has a massive following and impact. And that's what it's about. So Lance, I'm proud of you for getting out there and doing it. And listeners, you know, if you haven't jumped out into the blogging world, or shoot, I could help you start a podcast, or you know, getting on social media and connecting in a variety of ways, Voxer, Twitter chats, all that kind of stuff. You need to do it, because the privacy that we were used to living in is eroding. And I think it's also eroding, not only because of technology, but because of the value of living out loud in a public space. Because it you're vulnerable, you put your ideas out there, they're not all going to be right. It's going to start discussions and conversations, and it's going to make people better because they think about your work. And the last thing I want to say is, like, even though the sprint's over, this is August, and I don't even know when the next one is that I'm running, that's part of the point of the sprint. There's over 8 videos, it's 2.5 hours, and you get three to five minute video, and then a writing assignment, and then you share. And then repeat over and over. You don't have time to let your inner critic censor you. You got to get to work. You got to publish and ship and do it in public and get feedback and then repeat the process. So part of it is just teaching everyone that goes through it to make their take risk muscle a little bit stronger.
I agree. And, you know, with our students, I think that is so important too, to teach them, listen, take risks. That's how you're going to grow. And I think teachers naturally have a hard time with that, because I think that's a safe profession. You know, we went into college, we knew when I get out, I'm going to be teaching this grade span. You know, you think about somebody that gets into business, they could go into anything. So it's almost like we're naturally inclined to be safe. So we've got to kind of coach ourselves out of that.
Yeah. Safe stinks. So don't do it. Lance, don't do it. Better leaders, don't do it. Safe stinks. Let me ask you what you're particularly proud of your school accomplishing or attempting this year. Yeah.
I think this year I'm most proud of just us expanding the options for our students, and that's academically, but also with our different extracurriculars. We've expanded our clubs by tenfold. We used to have like one club, and all of it is voluntary. So I've got teachers volunteering to run like a chess club with, you know, we're a rural farming community, and we've got kids playing chess. We've got kids playing programming robotics. We've got a Lego Mindstorms group where the students are in charge of it. And just today they're talking about, I can't wait to show the next group how to do this because I've mastered this. I'm ready to show them how to complete these different missions. We've got run clubs, but we're also expanding that voice and that choice for students within the day. So rather than just having the traditional sit and get, and we've always had strong academics in Jackson R2, but I think we're kind of pushing a little bit further, which I'm really proud of. Like, we're not just sitting and saying, okay, good is good enough. What can we do to be great? And so we're looking at different ways of instruction. We've started using Breakout EDU. And if those of you that aren't familiar with it, it's kind of like a breakout room that adults go to where you've got to solve different clues and unlock out of it. So in this, they relate it to, say, a book, and they use different clues from that story in the book, and students piece it together and they unlock the box. And there's usually like a prize or, you know, something that relates to the story as far as a resolution inside the box.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
It's definitely cool. And then we have our Hour of Code we just started doing, but we're looking at how can we expand that to not just be an hour. You know, if it's important, kind of like Genius Hour, if it's important, then should it really be limited to an hour? But you got to start somewhere. We've started with Genius Hour, where students pick a topic of interest and they research it and they come up with different ways of how can I accomplish that. They identify mentors that they can work with. We're really pushing to get them to identify people that aren't in their immediate circle and see if we can't connect with, you know, if you're interested in animals and you're doing a project on animals, can we Skype with somebody from the St. Louis Zoo? You know, can we break down the walls outside of North Elementary and really learn from the experts out in the field? And with technology, the answer is yes. It's just a matter of setting it up.
I like that. That's good stuff. And kudos to you. Start thinking about time, too, with that, not trying to limit it. I know initially with the rollout, right, it's a little tough and you got to build buy-in and make it happen. But then after that, you know, try to expand for the benefit of kids.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're talking about some really innovative stuff, but I'm curious how you'd answer what would be one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught?
I struggle with this one.
Uh-oh, I can retract that question then, Lance. No.
This one's probably going to be off the beaten path. I think it's how to adult, you know? So what I mean by that is, how do you go about paying for student loans? Yeah, people know how to buy a car, but have they learned how to figure out this is actually going to cost me this much because of gas and because of maintenance? And, oh, wait, I can't actually afford it. I could just afford to buy it and let it sit in my driveway. Using the power of persuasion and working that, because part of being an adult and being in different jobs is using that power of persuasion, and not to trick people or anything like that, but you've got to make a case. Now, we do have debate class, so that's part of it, but just having social confidence as well. You know, we talked about me taking risks and wanting students to take risks, but maybe in this class where we're teaching them how to quote unquote adult, maybe we're teaching them how to have that social confidence where you walk into a party and you don't know anyone, you don't just stand to the side. You're actually going out and mingling, and not with the purpose of I'm just going to connect with people, but you're actually doing it with the interest of I want to get to know these people and not feeling shy like, oh, I don't have anything to offer.
Right. That's good stuff. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, we had some teachers at my former school talk about wanting to do an adult week. So I love that you brought that up, because we're on the same wavelength right now, my man.
Yeah. Sometimes adulting's hard.
It is hard. I'm glad I made it this far.
Yeah.
Lance, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
I've got a list. I know you push essentialism, and I asked my administrative assistant, I said, out of all the books I've read, which one do you think I like the most? And she said, I think you like that one because you talk about it a lot.
So. Nice.
That is definitely one that's on the list. I'm currently reading Start Right Now, and I think that's a good one, not just for principals, but even for teachers. They've set it up really well with this is what you can start doing. This is how you build on your practice, and here's the teacher side of it, here's the administrative side of it. So I think that's a good book that's currently a new one. I've got a couple other ones too. The old textbook from Bowman and Deal, Reframing Organizations. I think that's a great one for principals, just because it's forcing you to look at problems from four different points of view. And you know, we talked about what's my leadership style, but sometimes that doesn't always fit the current problem. So being able to shift it and say, well, how does this look through rituals and symbols? You know, practically I could get rid of that, but is that something that's symbolic of our clientele and our culture? And then I think two other ones are Innovator's Mindset and Pure Genius by Don Wetrick. We talked about Genius Hour a little bit, and just reading his book, that got me fired up. Like, I wanted to drive to Indiana and like hang out with him and pick his brain for the day, you know? So
just friend him on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've friended him on Twitter or yeah. followed him, and you know, and like I said, with Twitter, I've private messaged him and he's helped me out with a couple of things as
cool,
well.
Cool.
I mean, Twitter, going back to it, I'm going to give a plug to Twitter again. If teachers and educators aren't on Twitter, they really need to get on it. And I've really talked with my staff here. Listen, guys, you can expand your circle of influence and you can also learn from other people. We only have two teachers per grade level, but there are millions of kindergarten teachers out there doing it well. So we don't have to just collaborate with the two of ourselves. We can do it with everybody.
Hey, well, Lance, I'm going to ask you this last question and we're wrapping it up. I apologize. You know, Houston traffic is terrible. At the launch of this podcast, I'll probably be in Belgium. So traffic and that kind of stuff will not be impacting me like it has here, because I'll be just doing my bike thing and I'm pursuing this full time by the time this podcast comes out. So I apologize. And if you want to do a second show, we could dig into some of the other questions. I'd love to connect with you again. But with that being said, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Well, I think you need to start with the priorities first. You know, before you start with the actual physical building, you're going to want to start with what are we trying to accomplish? So I think the priorities are probably going to be centered around students. How do we build students that are going to be able to pursue their interests? And that may not be I'm going to college. It may just be the opportunity to pursue college or to pursue an engineering type job or something like that. So I think building that critical thinking in students and that flexible and adaptive spaces, because we can build a school, but it may not be the school we need 5 years down the road. And then focus on reading and writing. I think it's great to be innovative, but if we don't have that reading, writing, and math component, then we're going to fall. And so we need that as a support. So as you build that school, to keep those in mind, I think having technology, and that technology may look different, but technology that's adaptable, because technology comes and goes. I mean, if there's no limit, I'm going to go with a time machine. Is that allowed?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I think, you know, with a time machine, we could go on some amazing field trips. We could really expand our network. And, you know, we could be talking to Ben Franklin about how the 13 colonies got their independence and what his thoughts really were. Having group spaces, talking about collaboration, I think that's important for students and for teachers. You know, if we have just a bunch of classrooms, but there's not a space for teachers to convene and talk, I think that's a big mistake. I think having learning spaces that are outdoors would be beneficial, but also like some kind of amazing playground where, you know, we've got zip lines and we've got, I don't know what else. I mean, anything that they can imagine. Students today were asking for a water slide, so maybe I throw one of those in too. Teleportation.
You know, maybe now we're getting there.
Yeah, maybe I could go visit you. You know, we can ride bikes around the city. I don't know.
Man, I was at this entrepreneur conference, Lance. Sorry to interrupt, but they were talking about this freaking technology where people now, not just video, you know, like we're doing with Skype, but a 3D image of you renders and you walk into the room as if you're there, but it's a hologram. That technology exists right now.
Yes, I saw something on like a TED Talk on that. And I think he had his friends that were like three states over use the hologram to talk. And it was amazing. It wasn't just like a hologram. Like, it could actually do some stuff. And you could get files through it as well. It was amazing. So, I mean, we're almost there. Who knows? Maybe the kid that develops the teleportation device is in North Elementary right now.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Lance, just to close, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I think the best way to get a hold of me is probably through Twitter. My handle's @DrMcLard. You can email me. My email is lcmclard, M-C-C-L-A-R-D, at jr2mail.org. And, yeah, connect with me on Twitter or email. I'm willing to connect with you and answer questions or have a dialogue back and forth to help improve both our practices.
Awesome. Well, hey, Lance, it was great connecting with you. Listeners, you know that all the resources, the books mentioned, and then Lance's contact info will be in the show notes for you. Better Leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Lance. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Lance in the search bar. Show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of the episode, links to the resources, and the best way to connect. Lance, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you, Daniel. Thanks for publishing this podcast, too. It's really helped me out.
Awesome. Taking risks, living in public. This is great. Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across? Links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well. If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.